Welcome to the KMUD News. I'm your news director, April Lewis, and I'm glad to be with you for this broadcast. In this episode, we have stories on Taste of the Cove and an event in Garberville to help those dealing with grief. But first, some local alerts and updates. This is KMUD News. Starting off with news from the National Weather Service. We'll start to see some rain in many parts of the KMUD broadcast zone on Wednesday. Light to locally moderate rain is forecast from around 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, September 2nd, primarily in Del Norte and northern Humboldt counties. Wind is also expected, with southerly gusts of 20 to 35 miles per hour, and stronger gusts of up to 50 miles per hour in coastal headlands and exposed ridgelines in Del Norte and Humboldt counties. Slippery roads are expected as the first rain in months falls with residual oil sitting on roadways and highways. From CDFW. California Department of Fish and Wildlife Director Megan Hurdle has opened the recreational razor clam fishery in Del Norte County following a recommendation from state health agencies that domoic acid no longer poses a significant threat to human health if consumed. The razor clam fishery was closed on July 31st in Del Norte County due to elevated levels of domoic acid. Clams sampled in July and August 2026 from Crescent Beach all had domoic acid concentrations lower than the federal action level, allowing the fishery to reopen. The recreational razor clam fishery in Humboldt County remains closed due to elevated levels of domoic acid. The closure, which began in May of 2024, remains in effect until state health agencies determine razor clams no longer pose a health risk. CDFW will continue to work with the California Department of Public Health and Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment as they monitor ocean indicators for domoic acid presence and continue to test razor clams from Northern California. This will determine when the recreational razor clam fishery can be reopened safely in Humboldt County while ensuring razor clams are safe to harvest in Del Norte County. CDFW reminds clammers that the daily bag limit for razor clams is 20, and the first 20 clams dug must be retained regardless of size or condition. The fishery is open south of Battery Point, Crescent City, and Del Norte County. Each person is required to keep a separate container for their clams and is not allowed to commingle their take with another person when digging and transporting clams to shore. A reminder from CAL FIRE. CAL FIRE would like to remind the public that outdoor debris burning remains suspended. There is no set date for when it will be lifted. While light precipitation is forecasted for this week, the threat of wildfire currently remains. Every year, CAL FIRE responds to debris burn escapes when residents underestimate the fire danger and choose to burn illegally. The threat of wildfire remains, especially with increasing winds and heavy dead fuels, which are still dry. Those found responsible for burning illegally may face civil or criminal penalties. Offenders may also be referred to the Air Quality District to be held accountable. Responses to these preventable, illegal activities requires a commitment of resources, potentially delaying firefighters from getting to other emergencies. Covering piles with tarps or other material allows the piled vegetation to remain dry. Piles can be uncovered and burned safely once the burn suspension has been lifted. This is the recommended method as it minimizes the threat of escape. CAL FIRE urges the public not to burn until after the burn suspension is lifted. The suspension will be lifted once sufficient rains have adequately reduced the threat of wildfire. And CAL FIRE will notify the public when that suspension is lifted. Once lifted, residents may burn dry vegetation with proper permits on approved burn days. From the Mendocino National Forest. The Mendocino National Forest is reporting an uptick in sign vandalism. Missing and damaged signs are serious safety issues for the public and first responders. Visiting resources such as fire engines and crews are often assigned to the forest to provide emergency support. Those first responders can be at risk if signs are absent or unreadable. In emergency situations, signs along evacuation routes, such as Forest Highway 7 from Covelo to Willows, are also important. Forest Service staff and volunteers have been working diligently for the last several years to replace and restore signs that were destroyed by wildfires in 2020 and 2018. On average, forest staff replace about 20 road and recreation signs per year. Sign costs can range from $200 up to $1,000, depending on the size, detail, and material. There are also additional costs of wood or metal posts. Replacing damaged or stolen signs costs taxpayers money that could be better spent on maintenance for campgrounds, roads, and trails. Additionally, shooting at metal targets can throw sparks that could ignite a wildfire. Target shooting should be done safely using appropriate paper targets or clay pigeons. And target shooting is not allowed within 150 yards of any campground or occupied area. Officials urge visitors to practice responsible recreation and protect forest signs. And up next, our main stories. This is KMUD News. The 23rd annual Taste of the Cove is this Saturday. We spoke with one of the event's organizers to learn more. KMUD News reports.
Taste of the Cove is coming right up this Saturday at Malcolm's Park in Shelter Cove from 1 to 5 p.m. Meal tickets are available at the event, and this is the heart of the Redwood Community Hospice's biggest fundraiser of the year, so please share it with everyone you know. I had a chat with Sandy Tillis from Heart of the Redwoods Community Hospice to get details on this year's 23rd annual event, and here's what she had to say.
So we have music all day from 1 till 5, and our opening act is Grayson Prescott. He's a young fisherman, and he will be playing his ukulele and serenading us with songs. Grayson will be followed by the band The Breakers, and they really rock. Hopefully they'll get you up dancing. They play rock music and country and some originals. And we have a local fisherman as the drummer. Don Sachs is the drummer. Then our final band is going to be Ray Bevatori and Friends. And Ray has been playing in A Taste of the Cove for the 23 years that we've had it. He's the singing fisherman, and he will be gathering a bunch of great musicians with him to be singing covers, originals, blues. He's a perennial favorite. So we have a nice group of fishermen musicians, and
it's going to be a day full of music and a serious spread of food.
There's the food will be cooked and ready. We have salmon, rock cod, and some albacore this year. So we're very excited with an Asian coleslaw salad and a fabulous homegrown tomato, cucumber, basil salad, fresh corn, and garlic bread, and tri-tip, too, of course. So it's a big meal, and you can get, you know, a little of this and a little of that, surf and turf. We've got tables and beautiful flowers by Eva Carpenter. We have a really great kid zone and face painting, all kinds of games and arts and crafts.
I asked about the strategy because no one wants to show up when the salmon's gone. It looks like meal tickets are available at the event. Any tips on timing, or does the food tend to sell out?
Well, we try to have plenty of food, but I'll say by around 4 o'clock, sometimes we're out of corn, sometimes we're out of salmon by then, you know, so I'd say if you really want to get, a full array, full choices, come by 3, I would say.
There's two incredible raffle packages and a bunch of new standalone prizes this year, which is definitely worth grabbing a few tickets for.
One of them has a night at the Benbow Inn, and one has an amazing quilt made by Regina McClett. You can see it at the credit union. And they both have massages, gift certificate for restaurants, local restaurants. They have some champagne, some skincare, sweatshirts. One has some art by Ralphie Hendrick, either Pilates or a fitness class, a series of classes. And, yeah, so they cover the bases. It's something in there that you're going to love. And if you don't want them, you can always give them to, as gifts to your friends. And then we have, this year, we have some single standalone prizes to make it more fun and more winners.
Beyond the fun and food, this event carries real weight for the hospice.
A lot to us. We are a independent hospice that we don't receive any funding from Medicare or insurance companies, so we have to raise all our funds by these events and generous donations and small grants. So this event covers about 10% of our expenses, so it's huge.
And for people who don't know, what does Heart of the Redwoods Community Hospice provide to families in Southern Humboldt?
We provide education, empowerment, and support to our patients and their families and the community throughout the dying and grieving process. Nurses that work closely with the patient's physician for pain and symptom management, and we keep our patients as comfortable as possible. We have equipment that we can loan them, the hospital beds, walkers, wheelchairs, oxygen concentrators, all of that that help provide a comfortable situation. And, of course, working with the physicians for the proper medications all play into the comfort of our loved ones. Peers, trained volunteers who help the family process as graceful and peaceful as possible. We work really closely with the circle of care, and that is we give them support, emotional support, spiritual support. They're the boots on the ground. We are the support network, and they can call us 24/7. But with knowing that there's support and that you can ask questions, you can say, is everything okay? Am I doing this right? You know, and it makes you know that you can do it. It empowers everyone. We're so glad that we get to work with the community that way. We also offer bereavement support for after the passing of your loved one. And also, sometimes there's anticipatory grief. So we work with you in whatever way is necessary, and we're there to hold you.
10% from one single afternoon is huge. And for anyone who's ever had to lean on hospice services, it's easy to underestimate just how much they do.
So we're hoping that hospice will continue on into the future. I mean, you know, when you ask what does it mean to us, you know, because of the economic downturn, you know, here, we don't raise as much money from the community. And, you know, we're really trying to scrape by, you know, we have some savings, we're spending it, you know, and I'm like, oh, I wonder how long we're going to be able to do this, you know, so just the outpouring of love and people coming to our events means so much to us, both, you know, both emotionally and financially, you know. You know, people do understand what we do and do really, you know, support us. Thank you to our sponsors, Big Leaf Ranch, Clover Willison Insurance, Community First Credit Union, Daisy's Building Supply, Desiree Avila Group Realty, Edwards Excavation, Family Tree Service, Jippo Ale Mill, Huckleberry Hill Farms, J. Angus Publishing, Madrone Realty, Measure K, Napa Auto, NorCal Mechanical, Pacific Sun Construction, Farming Humboldt Dreams, Ray and Denise Wilcox, Ridgeline Farms, Savage Farms, South Fork Ready Mix, Southern Humboldt Healthcare District, Steve Daisy, The Bootleg, The Barassa Family, The Old Riverwood and Western Star Tree Company. And that is just an amazing list. And we're so, so grateful to all of you because it makes such a difference in this event.
All of that is made possible by events just like this one. And all of the fish on your plate Saturday has been donated by local fishermen, which is a part of what keeps the meal prices down for the community.
Be the Breakers, and they're a local band, and they play rock and country and some originals, and hopefully they'll get you up dancing. And then followed by Ray Bevatori, who has been I mean, this is our 23rd annual. Ray has played every year. He calls himself the Singing Fisherman, and he always gets a great group of musicians, and he's terrific. This is his first year headlining. He's always been our opener or second act. This year he's headlining, and
Sandy also wanted to personally thank all the amazing sponsors who made this event and the hospice itself possible. She has one more request for the community.
We're looking for some local chives. If anybody has any chives that they could bring to the office and have them there by Thursday, I would be greatly appreciative. We put the chives on our rockfish.
The timing couldn't be better. The forecast for Saturday is calling for mostly sunny skies and 66 degrees, so grab your loved ones and get out there. We hope to see you all this Saturday. Music, delicious food and desserts, wine, beer, merchandise, a raffle, a kid zone, and so much more. Taste of the Cove this Saturday at Malcolm's Park in Shelter Cove, 1 to 5 p.m. Meal tickets are available at the event, and this is the hospice's biggest fundraiser of the year.
The Southern Humboldt Community Healthcare District, along with the Family Resource Center and Senior Life Solutions, is holding an event in Garberville to help those in the community dealing with grief, KMA News reports. SoHum Health, along with the Southern Humboldt Family Resource Center and Senior Life Solutions, are hosting an event in the Garberville Town Square on Friday, September 18th from 4 to 7 p.m. The event is called Holding Space and focuses on loss, grief, and suicide awareness. KMUD News spoke with Amy Taronis, coordinator for the Family Resource Center located on the campus of Redway Elementary, and Lauren Beeman, mental health therapist for Senior Life Solutions. We wanted to learn more about what will happen at the Holding Space event, along with Amy and Lauren's experiences encountering families and patients dealing with grief in our community. Amy Taronis spoke on the event's focus for this year and opportunities for participants.
We have historically held our Holding Space event in September for suicide awareness and prevention. This year, we're bringing it back and we're opening it up a little bit to really just support our community through the loss and grief that we've collectively experienced in the last year or two. I think that in a lot of situations, we kind of categorize our loss if it's cancer related, if it's suicide related, if depending on the age of the person, and sometimes it can feel a little disconnected. And so this event is really a community event for all people to come and share the grief and the trauma that they may have experienced through loss this year. There's no, specifics that they have to fit into, no mold and no requirements or criteria. Just come share space. We're going to have a free dinner. We're going to have some music, some space for people to share or talk if they choose. And then at 6:30, we are going to be releasing live butterflies as some symbolism and a way of remembrance.
Amy Taronis, coordinator for Southern Humboldt's Family Resource Center, also spoke of services and resources available to the local community to deal with grief.
We do have a NAMI group, the National Alliance of the Mentally Ill, and that group is, they meet weekly here at the Family Resource Center, and they're just, again, another great group of folks that will talk with you, share resources, maybe share personal experiences. And then we do have our hospice. It's a great group of volunteers over at hospice, and they do a lot of grief support and counseling. And they can do, I like to say, on demand. And so oftentimes when we're going through our primary care physician or clinics to get seen by an LCSW, it might take a little bit of time, where hospice can meet with you right then and right there oftentimes. So that's a great resource as well. But both the SoHum Health and Redwood Rural, they both have LCSWs and counseling on site these days, which is awesome.
We then asked Lauren Beeman, therapist with Senior Life Solutions, about challenges faced by local seniors. She spoke on a range of personal and community grief experienced by older folks, which can come from unexpected places.
I think isolation is huge. It's kind of a juxtaposition of things coming together where you have people who whose bodies are aging, who are going through their own personal grief about their own loss of independence while simultaneously not having having a lowered source of income, having uncertainty about their future with things, stresses about political things, stresses about the climate. It's multiple things at one time. Frustration with feeling heard or seen in the medical system is a huge thing we talk about on a regular basis, not knowing how to advocate or advocating and not feeling heard when it comes to addressing their physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, all these things. And just really all of those things coming together.
Lauren also spoke on group therapy and other programs offered by Senior Life Solutions and available to local seniors.
If people have access to the internet, they all of a sudden have a group of people they can talk to up to 3 days a week. And if they're real chatty Cathys, they might call our office every day and get some extra support. But having that group therapy three times a week, which is what we offer, and then individual therapy. And then it's kind of like a wraparound program where there's support with your physical health, making sure that you're connected with your doctors and advocacy and all that.
We then turn the conversation back to Amy Taronis of the Family Resource Center in Redway to learn more about the experiences of families in our community, especially those with young children, when dealing with grief-stricken situations.
The challenge is the grief and the trauma affect us all. So it's really difficult for a parent to support their children through a process of trauma and grief when they're going through it themselves as well. Oftentimes a parent thinks that they have to be stronger and they have to, save face and they have to have the answers, all the answers, right? And so it's really difficult for family members to go through this process of grief around a loss of a loved one when everybody's experiencing it. And they, because we all are at different ages and we have different relationships, we have different experience of grief. And so a child losing a parent is going to be very different than a wife losing their husband. And so it's very complex when we talk about family grief. And the bonus in a small community is that oftentimes our kids don't feel alone because they know that the loss and the grief has affected the bigger community or members of their school staff or their, fellow classmates. And so we do all feel the grief and the loss when it happens in our small community. And I think that that is something that really has struck me over the last few years is how we can support families that are experiencing grief together.
Amy then spoke on the importance of merely having events like Holding Space and the wide-ranging experiences of grief in Southern Humboldt this year.
The way that we titled this event, Holding Space, it really does transfer to our goal, because one thing that I recognize, and I can speak for myself, in these last, not to get too personal, but with some of the loss that we've had in this community, I may not have felt close enough to attend a funeral or a celebration of life. And I didn't know my place around that, but I definitely have felt the loss and the grief. Or I'm not really, super tight with the family in the way that I'm going to show up at their house with a meal or send them a personal text message. But I want to show that I am affected and I do care and I am a safe person to, share their grief with, and I'm resilient and I'm capable and I have the capacity to hold this space for others. So I really want that to be the way that we think about this event, is that you have no obligation to be anything, to have any relationship. You don't have to know anything that or anybody that we're talking about, but just know that you could be there to show empathy and support for others. It's a really hard topic to touch. And to be honest with you, we could have easily skipped over this and nobody would be calling and knocking on our door asking why. But we did feel that it was a really important conversation to have. And I say this about a lot of events that we have here in Southern Humboldt. Even if nobody shows up, the fact that we're talking about it here at KMUD and the fact that there's going to be flyers around town, people can think about that, read it, hear this on the news, and maybe it'll strike up a conversation within their family. Maybe it'll just bring a moment where they say their loved one's names. They think about that relationship that maybe they haven't in a while. And, if we can do that for one person, for one family, that is met a goal. And so, yeah, that's what we're here for, just to show love, empathy, and respect for people in our community.
Holding Space, a loss, grief, and suicide awareness community event, will be held in the Garberville Town Square on Friday, September 18th from 4 to 7 p.m. At 4 p.m., there will be community support offered along with a strength walk, followed by live music, food, and art at 5 p.m. The aim is to create a community space to hold each other up. If you are interested in volunteering or speaking at the Holding Space event in Garberville on September 18th, you can call 707-923-1147 or email outreach@shchd.org. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis. That's all for our news broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our rotation of broadcast engineers, Dennis Marr, Katie Phillips, Bianna Federico, Michael McCaskill, Larry Lashley, and Javier Rodriguez. Also, thanks to our assistant director, Bridget Carstensen. KMUD News is now on streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening. You can also follow us on social media at KMUD News, including Facebook and Instagram. Do you have issues important to you that deserve more attention? Are there stories we're missing that you're curious about? You can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Tsingkiyon, Wailaki, Wiyut, Wilcut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to the region. I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.